turn is the worship of God today. Elder Dickey Humphrey Watts. Okay.
Well, it's such a blessing to be here. I've been greatly blessed by the singing already. Joy of being together at the preacher's meeting last night. Just the joy of fellowship is so needful for my soul. And so it's really a praise to the Lord to stand in your midst. Brother Danny's already really covered what I wanted to speak about, and for that I'm encouraged that perhaps the Lord is in the matter. But I'd like to speak to you this morning on the subject of what to do when you want to quit, or what to do when you are discouraged. I want to read to you from the book of Hebrews, chapter 3, and we'll also look at a few verses in chapter 4, and then we'll pick up on these thoughts. Hebrews chapter 3, pick up in verse 12. Hebrews 3, verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we're made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. And then in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto a throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Every one of us faced discouragement. The children of Israel, my, what a grand deliverance from Egypt. Turn back to Exodus 14 and 15. I mean, it was a high time. Miriam was singing and all the hosts, the Lord hath cast, you know, the rider into the sea, and it was just astounding, really, the joy that they had. In fact, we'll just pick up, it's just such phenomenal language there in Exodus. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also were drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. It's really hard to comprehend what jubilation there must have been on that grand deliverance of you know, 400 years in bondage, where, you know, it's not when you choose your day off, you don't have a day off.
Right.
And it's not where you choose your career. Your career is handed to you. And it was just such a mighty deliverance. And then they're to go into the promised land, and the spies go in, and they're discouraged. They think it's too big, too many giants, too many problems, no possible way to get there. And every one of us face the same thing in some way, every day, in whether we're young or whether we're old, whether we have, you know, the difficulties of fighting sin, or it's just the general difficulties of life. You know, sometimes it's just our marriages aren't going well. We've given it all we've had, and somehow things just aren't clicking. Might be as simple as raising children. You know, you're just doing all you can, and they just don't seem to quite be getting it, and you're really wondering if it's going to be all for naught. Sometimes in pastors, they were not preaching for success, right? But somehow, if something isn't indicating that in some way, somehow, something is being affected positively by what we're doing, we begin to grow weary. And we kind of wonder, is it really worth the efforts we're going through? I've seen those get older. And they've even asked me, they've asked you as well, why am I left on the earth? They're discouraged. They don't see any use. I've had some tell me, said you can live too long. Seem to think that God's forgotten them, or, you know, troubles are too severe. Decline is just more than can be handled. So what are we to do? The Hebrew brethren that are being written to here, their homes were being pillaged. They were being persecuted. And brethren, we may face that.
Right. Yeah. Amen.
Maybe far sooner than we think we might face
it. That's right.
Some had lost lives, no doubt. Now, they believed in God. They believed He was still on the throne, but they were discouraged. How can we go on? And so he says here, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. And then he begins to give us some pointers about what we might do to hold on the way. And I wonder what those are. What do you do? Well, I've had people tell me this. I don't know about you. But they cheer up, Brother Dickie. And I really tell each other, by nature, I'm rather a morbid person. I mean, I'm just kind of dour, much to my wife's chagrin. I'm the Peanuts cartoon character with the cloud always over my head. Always just can't seem to think things are going to turn out well. And people say, cheer up. And I want to take them by the throat. Cheer up funny. I mean, that doesn't help. You know? And then sometimes people will say, well, things are going to get better. And it never looks that way to me. I mean, it looks to me like things are getting worse fast, and soon it'll totally be over, and there's no escape. It may look bad, but the cloud's just coming, and it hasn't arrived yet. That's the way it looks to me. People say, cheer up, things are going to get better. And sometimes they'll say, pray. Well, you can't disagree with that, can you? But I've been praying. You know, it's not working. You know, go to the house of the Lord. Certainly wise counsel. Ought to be done. Ought to be praying. We ought to cheer up. We ought to know things are going to be a bit better. We ought to know God is still on His throne, but all of it is coupled together with unbelief, just exactly like it says. We can't seem to get our act together. Now, friends, I'm talking about real, real discouragement. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been in the bed. I know I needed to get up, and I did not want to get up. I've stayed in the bed. On one occasion, my wife told me I'd never do that again. And she was right. But I'm talking about real problems. Real difficulty. You really don't see how the marriage will work. Or it really already hasn't worked. The children are already gone astray. And you really have been devastated to the core. I mean, we're not talking about small stuff. I'm not just up here, you know, waving my hands and flapping my lips. I'm talking about real stuff to real people in a real world where real depravity has grasped your soul and you really wonder whether it's all worth it or not. What do you do when that has taken place? The church is dwindling. The nation's declining. What do you do? Well, He has an answer for us here. He specifically tells us in verse 14, we're made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. That is, we hold on to where we began, which was when you began in your walk with Christ, and when I began my walk with Christ, I had settled in my heart I was nothing. I had settled in my heart I expected nothing. I had settled in my heart that I could obligate Him for nothing.
Amen.
It was simply that Christ had visited me in the depth of my sin, and it was all Him to start with.
Amen.
But somewhere along the line, I began to think I deserved more than just Him. And so we began to drift. Because we needed more than Christ. He said, hold on to where you began.
Right.
Go back to Christ. Start in the middle. Sometimes we do that with marriages, right?
Yeah.
Begin to go over where you began. How did you fall in love? What did you, you know, this child that's gone astray, what do? You may say, you may begin to think, I remember their first steps. You're mad as hops at them. But you go back. You say, I remember their first steps. I remember their first words. I remember them cuddling on my lap. I remember all those blessings, and somehow I still love them, though they've gone astray.
Right.
And somehow we've got to go back to where we began, friends.
Amen.
Right. We don't need new things today. Right. We need the same old truth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and where we began.
Amen.
And to do that, to look to Christ and to remember from whence we've come, we need to remember our need of Christ.
Amen. Yes, sir. That's right.
You see, we forget that He's all we need. And we begin to think we need a lot of things added to Christ.
Right.
I was reading a while back about this gentleman, and I have it here before me, who had actually seen and had experienced personally and had actually been in one of the concentration camps in World War II. And he had actually seen the man in the German reign who had put to death so many. His name was Adolf Eichmann, if you will. But as I was reading about this man, one of the men that had escaped the concentration camp. I mean, lived through it. He didn't escape from it, but he had lived through it. Was brought in while Eichmann was being tried. So here's this Nazi being tried for having brought many to death. Here's a man that saw this man. Here's a man from the concentration camp that saw a man from the Nazis put many to death. He looked like a beast, right? You would have thought he was unhuman, right? How could you gas so many? How could you put so many to death? How could it be possible? Well, as the German man was being tried, concentration camp survivor came into the scene and he collapsed. He just fell out. Well, the survivor, his name was Dinur, was interviewed later. And he was asked, "Why did you faint? Did you see a beast? Did you see somebody inhuman? Did you see somebody that was just so filled with depravity that just being in the presence of such a wretched human being, you could not exist?" And here was Dinur's answer at seeing Eichmann's trial. Dinur said, "No, in an instant I saw myself."
Wow.
"And that I was able to do anything that that man had done." What's the point of this? For us to remember Christ.
Amen.
For us to go back to the beginning. For us to appreciate what we have in Him. For us to go on today in the midst of what might be persecution, the midst of hatred, the midst of people not understanding the truths of the doctrine of the grace. For us to hold on to what we believe in, though people say you're so small you couldn't possibly know what the truth of the Bible is. For people to constantly barrage us and say it's not worth what you have to keep going on, for us to remember to go on and to be strong enough to go on, we have to remember we're sinners saved by grace.
Amen.
And keep our eyes on Christ.
Right. Yes, sir.
That's what we've got to do. Well, what is the depth? What is the breadth of our sin? The very depth of our sin is how far we can actually go. Every one of us. The depth of our sin is far greater than we imagine. You see, we have this thing that sinners have whereby we are able to deceive ourselves with regards to how sinful we are.
Yeah.
You know I hurt my wife here, but by the way, I carried in the groceries last night, so therefore I'm good, right? You know, I didn't preach good that time, but the three times before that, it was, you know, it was a knockout. So everything's good, right? I mean, we try to build ourselves out so we don't wipe out.
Right.
I'm saying to you, wipe out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just totally get down in your bones and my bones that we are nothing.
Amen.
And we need Him alone.
Amen.
Isn't that what the children of Israel needed?
That's right.
Here they were dancing on the shore. Who opened up the Red Sea? Who sent the plagues? Now they're over here facing some giants and they, we can't do it.
Yeah.
That's exactly what's happened when we think we can't get through.
Right.
We're back to depending on self.
Right.
And we have to get back and look to Christ.
Amen. Amen. Yes, sir.
Now, friends, the depth of our sin, we have this differentiation we set up so we can deceive ourselves. And this is the differentiation. We say to do something and to think something is totally different. Well, it might be as far as the law. I might think of breaking the speed limit, but not break the speed limit, and it'll be easier on my pocketbook. But in God's sight, All things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do.
Right.
Everything. He knows our thoughts, the intents of our heart.
Right.
He can see us from afar off. Do you know when the Bible says to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul and mind and strength? Who's done that this morning? All your heart. And it wouldn't just be all your heart on one thing. It would be all your heart all the time to everybody you've ever met. In every situation, good or bad, you know, easy or difficult. All your heart, all your soul, all your mind. Every time you've obeyed the Lord from the mind. And suddenly I begin to not look so good.
Right.
And all your strength.
That's right.
We've got half-hearted service. We know we have.
Right.
Nobody's on their game all the time. Friends, before God, we don't measure up. You say, you're just grinding us to powder. That's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah.
I want us to see that Christ is everything to us.
Amen. Yes, sir.
We have nothing without Him. He came because we had no strength.
Right.
And He died for the ungodly.
Yeah.
And so they had to look back to the Lord. Now, friends, just think about the law for just a little bit. We have this differentiation that we can be angry, but that's all right if we don't say something. Well, I hope when you are angry at me, you keep your mouth zipped. But that doesn't work with God. You see, over in Matthew 5, He says, whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Mm-hmm. In God's sight, just to be angry is to have committed murder.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Right. Amen.
I mean, friends, we are so wicked. You know, you hear this. Y'all don't want to think this of your preachers, but sometimes this is what preachers will say. But you've thought it about your husband or wife on occasion, or your own children. We actually can get so bad we think we'd be better off without. And then we might name somebody. That's how bad we get. In God's sight, I've murdered people on the way to church.
Right.
I mean, friends, that's pretty sick. But in God's sight, because I've been so upset, so-and-so did thus-and-so, and it disturbed my little perfect world. My little perfect, peaceful pastorate, where all my sheep were lined up in white. And I could say, look at what Dickie's done. Yeah. So one gets out in the pig pen. It's bad. That's where I've been. And I want to get upset about what's going on in the world. Friends, it's not easy to talk about eternal punishment. That's not a friendly thought. But that's what we deserve.
Right. Yeah. Amen.
That's right.
Amen. And we've been saved.
Yes, sir.
From eternal punishment.
Yeah, right.
So, he says if you even call somebody a fool, what's he saying? He's just simply relating to us that if you think someone is just so out of their game, again, you would insult them. You fool. We've done that.
Oh, yeah.
We've said it to our children. We've said, what were you thinking? Well, they were thinking just like you, friends.
Yeah.
That's what they were doing. They were a chip off the old block. And I got disgusted with them because of what they were doing.
Right.
And that sheep that had gone off in the pig pen. So what were they thinking? I was saying, you fool! And God saying, you fool.
Right. Yeah.
So what were you thinking? Friends, we are the ones that are standing in the need of the gift of redemption.
Amen.
Well, not only the depth in this sense, the depth of our sin, that it goes deep into our thoughts. It goes deep into every attitude of the heart. But the very breadth of sin. To commit one sin is to have committed them all. Because to be guilty of one point of the law is to be guilty of all of the law.
That's right.
You know, when you look back at Adam's sin, and it's the same with us. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. What was the problem? He had another God. It was no longer what God said. It was what he wanted. The fall was not so much, though it was, rebellion against God, as it was raising himself to become God. It was, I will have another God before me. It'll be self. And then you continue to look at how did he have a graven image? Well, in one sense, he certainly did. He deified his own, I guess, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, didn't he? Every commandment was broken by one sin. And it's the same with us.
Amen.
It's not just the depth, it's the breadth of our sin.
Right.
We've covered the gamut. You see, we're thinking, if this could be better, Lord, if that could be better. Friends, if we've got things right, if the nation turned out perfect, there was a revival that totally just made life blissful. You didn't have to lock the screen door anymore. Who has a screen door? But you could leave the door unlocked. Right? You didn't have to lock the car when you went downtown. If everything became just like we wanted it. Friends, do you realize we still wouldn't be happy?
Right.
That's not the reason of our discouragement.
Right.
We are discouraged because our eyes are off the Lord.
Amen.
It's not because of the way things are in the world. It's because of the way we are in the world.
Amen.
The problem of the human heart is just simply the heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart.
Right.
The heart of your problem is the problem of your heart, and it's the problem of my heart. I wish things were different. But friends, don't be counting on that and thinking prayer is supposed to change everything and make it wonderful. God will bless us to go through it, but it's with our eyes on Christ. Not necessarily that He's going to make everything like we want it.
Right.
You can get through a marriage. You can get through raising children. I'm not saying it's a perfect marriage. I'm not saying all the children turn out right. You can get through a church that's not just flourishing like you want it to. You can get through a job that's not like it you want it to be. You can even get through your sinful tendencies, like Romans 7, when you're looking to Christ.
Right. Amen.
That's where we need to look.
Right.
Christ has been touched with every one of your difficulties.
Yeah.
You know how it is. Or at least it was with Charlotte, my wife. You're in a meeting. There's, you know, boo-koodles of kids running around, right? Suddenly she hears a cry. She knows which one it is. It's hers. And she hightails it out of there to go find the child. Friends, the Savior is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. You say, nobody knows what I'm going through. Oh, is that right?
No, he does.
He knows what you're going through.
Amen.
He knows what you're going through. When he was at the tomb of Lazarus, the thought there is he was violently shaking. That's the thought of the word.
Wow.
He was so absorbed into what they were going through. I've been in situations like that where something is so horrendous at a car accident. It was so wretched. It was so gory. It was so horrible. It totally affects you. Perhaps yeah. Those of you who've been in the military service, things you just cannot control emotionally. It's just overtaking you. The Savior is so moved with what you're going through that He is moved with what you're going through. He was sweating blood, as it were, in the garden. Why? Why? Because of facing the cross. Do you think that you're going through anything or that I ever have that He has not gone through? Loneliness, rejection, hatred, the vileness of people looking up at the cross and saying, "Come down if you be the Christ." Friends, He was so much involved in all that we go through, and He knows what we're going through. That's what this passage is saying. Not only does He know what we're going through, but then we need to come to the fact that He's done something about what we're going through.
Amen. Yes, sir. Amen.
And that is that He went to the cross. So we see our sin. We're looking to Christ. And we're seeing that He sees our sin. It devastates us. But then we begin to reflect upon the fact, but He knows what I'm going through. He's touched with what I'm going through. He's moved with what I'm going through. It's altered His course. He stood, did He not? When Stephen was being stoned, he's aware of what you're going through.
Yes.
The person beside you doesn't know. The person that's even going through has gone through the same thing may not exactly know.
Right.
But He knows. Right. And friends, when He went to the cross of Calvary, He was carrying us. You know the scriptures there. Where He speaks this way, "Every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with iniquity. And by reason hereof, he ought, as for the people, so also for his own self to offer for sins." And so the Savior knows what you're going through. And when He was going to the cross, He was carrying that burden. You are not alone, and I am not alone. I'll pick up from Psalm 22, where we read of the Savior's deep difficulties as He went to the cross. And here we read it in prophecy. "Thou art holy," verse 3. "O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel, our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people." Remember that you feel alone and that you feel like you can't get through. But remember that He was alone.
Right.
And that He didn't get through, but He did suffer for sin. He did, on the cross, actually incur the wrath of God.
Right.
Friends, serving the Lord is, some have said, logic on fire. What's it mean? It says you work it through in your mind. You think it out. You ponder the reality of it. It is bad here. Don't try to gloss over it. But remember what He actually went through.
Right.
You were not actually rejected. You were not actually forgotten. You were not actually suffering something that nobody else knows about. No, He did suffer what you are going through. He was rejected. He was alone. And friends, when you begin to logically think through this, suddenly in your soul, you say, "How can I be so selfish? How can I continue to be so morbidly introspective is to have all my eyes on my little troubles when He was totally rejected?" He did suffer eternity in 3 hours on the cross.
Yeah.
And He did it for me.
Yeah. Thank you,
that's
Lord.
Right.
And suddenly something builds up within you and you say, "Lord, I must live for you." Suddenly your discouragement changes to determination. Suddenly your down and out says, but I'm up. If they take my life, I'll live for you, Lord.
Right.
All they that see me, all they that see me, laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. Has everyone turned against you? I would suppose this morning, everyone here is for everyone else. I would suppose that. We love each other. We're banded together. We love the Lord Jesus. I would expect this morning, everyone here loves everyone else, but not so with Him. And I'm having my little pity party. I'm discouraged. We're talking about what to do when you quit, when you feel like quitting. What to do when you're discouraged. You look to Him.
Right. Amen.
He trusted on the Lord that He would deliver him. Let Him deliver him, seeing He delighted Him. But Thou art He that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon Thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near and there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. It was as if bulls were let loose, just devouring. Well, being from Texas, I suppose, but anywhere, you know, the Longhorns, here they come, stampede. The Savior was decimated. Totally. You could tell every one of His bones. They looked and stared upon Him. And then the wrath of God came upon Him. But He said, it's finished. Every one of the redeemed, their redemption was secured. And your redemption. So you're suffering. You're discouraged. I don't belittle it. I wish I could take it away. I wish I could put a cold rag on your brow and make it okay. We lived in a broken world, and we're broken people living in the world with other broken people. It's not going to be fixed till the end of time.
Right.
We're going to go through seasons that are very hard. Friends, look to Him.
Amen.
Keep your eyes upon Him. He remembers you. He knows you. He died for you. And you're going home.
Amen.
It's just a little while.
That's right.
Nothing here is that long. But the Savior's, eternity was condensed to those few hours.
Right.
And He arose victorious. He's coming again.
Amen.
Go on. Amen. Don't be discouraged. I thank You for the time.
Amen. Amen.